Sanbonani, Dumelang, Khuyamirach, hello. Mzansi, welcome to Sustainable Spaces Episode 3, brought to you by Luxi, a company that is powered by Standard Bank, and we're absolutely delighted to have you here today. I know a lot of people are joining us from Twitter Spaces, some of you are joining us from LinkedIn. We are going to have an extremely powerful conversation, and I cannot have it alone. So listen, we've had a power panel for Episode 1, we've had a power panel for Episode 2, but Episode 3's panel, listen, you are about to be blown away, because today we're talking the business of solar. And like I said, I'm not alone. We've got Kevin Semogorere, who is joining us from Standard Bank. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm fine, thanks. And you, Tinashe?
I'm well, thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about your role at Power Pulse, specifically with Standard Bank?
All right, thanks, Tinashe, and good afternoon to everyone out there. So I'm a digital solution owner in the innovation hub of our corporate and investment banking part of Standard Bank, which is called CIB Digital.
Yeah.
And what we specifically do is build out new corporate ventures. So my role specifically is to ideate new digital platform businesses to solve our clients' needs and build those out into real ideas, which will launch out into the market and hopefully scale them in order to service our clients.
That is incredible, because that's exactly what we're going to need. That's the insight we're going to need for today. We've also got Matthew Cruz, who's joining us. Matthew, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks, Anir.
I am fantastic. I believe you are the head of business intelligence at Home Energy. You've also had some extensive experience in South Africa's energy industry. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Great, yes. So I spent 11 years in Eskom.
Okay.
And the last 2.5 years was working as a management consultant, advising the C-suite and board of Eskom about the state of Eskom and the future of the energy sector.
Sure.
And that experience is what I draw upon in my experience as an energy expert when I advise the country about what's going on in this energy sector in South Africa.
Amazing. And look, we don't have experts. We have a mixture of experts and we have a mixture of audiences who want to know a lot more today. So we're going to be relying on that knowledge as well.
Great.
To your left, we've got Shandy Lutchman, who is an engineering consultant who has also extensive experience when it comes to property, when it comes to energy as well. Shandy, how are you today? And tell us a little bit more about how you got here.
Hi, Tinashe. It's good to be here. So I'm a professional engineer, and my work is in consulting to property owners in energy and building services. So I consult to property owners, helping them to understand the energy requirements, optimizing the energy usage, reducing energy costs, and also reducing building costs. Because if you optimize your energy, you can optimize building costs as well.
Amazing.
That's what I do.
And you know what? That's some of what we learned in the first two episodes. And I'm keen to see how we apply that to the business side of things. So it's going to be a very interesting discussion. And speaking of business, we've got Mashudu Mohau, a.k.a. Mash Startup. I call him the king of startups in South Africa. You might have heard his podcast. You might follow him on social media. Mash, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
I'm happy to hear. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background, the podcast, how you are so invested in South African startups?
Yeah, so I've spent the last 8 years or so working in various different roles, supporting, enabling, and empowering entrepreneurs with the right tools, resources, and information to start, build, and grow things that they really care about.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So for those who don't know who Luxi is, or for those who just want a reminder, Luxi describes themselves as a home efficiency platform powered by Standard Bank. And they are here to present solutions for the home, right? So whether we're talking alternative energy, because we all know about the South African energy crisis, whether we're talking water efficiency, whether we're talking portable backups, etc., Luxi is your go-to. And guess what? You also have an opportunity to get maybe a taste of the Luxi life, because today, just like we've done in the first two episodes, we're going to be giving away an EcoFlow River 2. So that is a portable utility. It's about this big, and it allows you to be able to charge your phones, to keep the lights on, not the lights specifically, but to charge your phone, to keep a lot of devices on, at least help you get through certain power outages. So if you'd like to win an EcoFlow River 2 during the course of this conversation, it's really simple. Keep sending through your questions, because as you've seen, we've got a panel of experts ready to answer them. Use the hashtag SBLove and hashtag WeRunBusiness. We will be counting all of the questions. Some of those questions are going to be answered today, so keep them coming. But everybody who asks a question using those two hashtags will be eligible to win the EcoFlow River 2. So absolutely cannot wait. Just a quick recap for those who are joining us on episode 3 for the first time. Episode 1 and 2, we were talking solar for the home. First, we introduced everybody to exactly how does it work? What do you need to consider? What do you need to apply for? How do you get your certificate of compliance, right? And then we talked about the legalities, the taxalities. So if you haven't caught those episodes, don't worry. They're on Spotify. They're on YouTube. Go back, because it's extremely important for homeowners. But today, we are talking the business of solar. We're looking at the business side of it because we understand that the energy crisis has affected businesses all across the country. I don't care if you're a celebrity. I don't care if you're a small business owner. We've seen so many unfortunate stories of people having to close their doors as a result of load shedding. And here, we're looking at solar and perhaps other renewable solutions that could perhaps overcome that. So the first question that I want to ask as we open this floor, I'm going to direct it to you, Kevin, right? Give us a basic breakdown. Explain it to me like I'm five. What are some of the differences between considering solar for the home and considering solar for your business?
Thanks, Tinashe. I think, first of all, what's important to note is there's a different need in terms of what a home is looking for when it comes to power, or in essence, the availability of power versus what a business is looking for when it comes to power availability. And I think the key difference is in the home, you're looking at an individual who potentially, let's say, has a family that they're living with.
Of course.
And is looking for convenience in the home.
Yeah. You know,
so ultimately, I think the real need and ultimate value proposition that the homeowner is looking for in looking at solar, for example, as an alternative to power generation, is convenience on how to run the home.
Because
the business might be looking more about, you know, their business continuity, their business viability, especially in the current environment of load shedding that we're experiencing in our country today. So there's a lot more of an economic feasibility and economic viability aspect to what a business would like to get out of a solar installation. So when we look at those key differences in terms of the needs of those two personas, I think a homeowner will ultimately look at how can they best optimize availability in their home. That comes down, first of all, to the availability of power. Then it drills down to the size of the particular system. Who's going to install that for them?
Yeah.
Can they afford that particular installation?
Yeah.
And ultimately, will it be available to run their basic needs, such as whatever equipment it is they have in their home, whether it's their washing machine, TV, and so on.
Exactly.
And then, of course, it might go to the extremes of maybe they want to go completely off-grid, which, of course, has a lot of technicalities to consider.
For sure.
Whereas a business will look at, first of all, in terms of their business viability context, can they, in essence, afford a solar installation, given where their business is currently performing from an economic point of view? What does it mean in order to be able to service their clients, given how much revenue they're generating? And then ultimately, when it comes to their operations, how do they make sure that the solar system will be part of their operations roadmap in order to leverage some of their strategic initiatives?
Okay.
So that will come down to how they're going to fund that system, for example.
Yeah.
Should they use their own liquidity, put it on their balance sheet? Should they get funding from a financial institution such as a bank?
Yeah.
And when you put all of those mixes into the equation, that ultimately drives a decision around strategically, does it make sense for a business to install a solar system? So it's a lot more complex than a home.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more economic factors to consider for a business.
That absolutely makes sense. And I think some of the things you were touching on, especially the, let's say, the operational strategy, some of the needs of the business, very, very different to the home as well. So, Mashu, do you work with a lot of startups? I'm sure you've met businesses of all sizes and kinds across South Africa. And I guess we are in a bit of a weird time because we're post-COVID, we are mid-load shedding. It's been a tricky couple of years for South African business as a whole, right? And now we're in a situation where not everybody is in the office at the exact same time. So if you're a business owner, you've got your premises, you maybe had an office that everyone was coming to prior to 2019, but now perhaps we're working with hybrid models. Employees are at home, some people come in on certain days. Is something like solar then viable for businesses who know that they have their employees and their staff in a hybrid system?
I really think it's not something that you can just, you know, paint with the same brush across the board. Every business really needs to assess their own needs, and every case is very different, right? So with very traditional businesses that are operating, say, on a day-to-day basis in very physical environments and customers coming in and out, they're very dependent on their energy source, right? So having, you know, reliable electricity or access to power becomes even more important.
Of course.
And critical. Versus, say, a very internet-based or using leveraging a lot more technology where you can be dispersed, you can be fully remote and stuff like that. I think it changes the conversation in a different way. But on either sort of case, you do see a lot more businesses starting to also take up, you know, the responsibility to make sure that they enable their employees to be able to work from home. So enabling them with whether it's an inverter kit, a battery kit, or even solar, just to make sure that they can mitigate the risk of this person not being available.
I see that.
They don't have connection.
I see that.
Or they don't have, you know, their devices charged and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, so from what I'm hearing, there are solutions. It doesn't always have to be solar, but there are businesses, and I've experienced this as well. My wife's business as well, they gave them those little power boxes, like that EcoFlow River 2 that you can win, just by the way. They have equipped their employees for that kind of hybrid solution. So as we're talking solar, we are still talking alternatives. So it might not always be solar, and that's something we found out in the first two episodes. Perhaps maybe you need a more modular setup, or perhaps your particular home's needs don't need you to go to the full extent. So I completely understand that from a business perspective as well. How realistic is it though that most startups, especially small businesses, SMEs, can be able to take care of their staff to that point? Because I know that some of them have taken hits due to COVID. Some of them are continuing to take hits because of the outages.
Yeah, so I think it's not just the businesses themselves or the employees of that business. It's also hitting now like employees that want to work for companies that are maybe international companies. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you don't want to hire someone if you don't know if they'll be available for 3 hours of a day. Right? And it's hitting that remote opportunity for people to access opportunities internationally. And for startups and small businesses, you know, there's a number floating right now that South Africa loses about 51 million US dollars for a day of load shedding, right? And that's hitting small businesses.
Yeah.
It's hitting startups where it really matters. And for most people, it's just not viable to be able to afford these things. And it makes it even more important to have, you know, a partner that can fund these things, that can help your business sustain itself and be able to navigate these challenges.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. As we discussed in the first episodes, we're talking the business of solar and we're talking solutions for businesses, but the other side of it is the opportunities that it creates, because almost everywhere I'm driving these days, I'm seeing billboards, I'm seeing advertising looks, I'm seeing a lot of look-see ads on my timeline as well, explaining to me a lot of the opportunities. Matthew, I'd just like to know, what opportunities do you see existing for people who want to create businesses in the industry, people who want to get involved in the solar game? What kinds of certifications would you recommend that people get to really boost their credentials and prove themselves as, you know, trustworthy and reliable providers or trustworthy and reliable maintenance people, so that again, we see the actual solar business in South Africa itself growing?
Great. Yeah, thank you. One thing that's interesting about the solar sector is that it's got a very low barrier to entry for people that are interested in getting involved. So it actually represents, in my mind, one of the greatest opportunities for skills development and skills improvement in the country for people that want to get into a career within the renewable energy space.
Okay.
So, for example, the barrier to entry for just starting to work on a solar team, a solar installation team, is having grade 11.
Okay,
and
really?
Yeah, you can have a grade 11 and you can start your process then, and you can work your way all the way up to then being a person that holds the installation electrician certification. That's the confirmed by the Labor Department and also the ACE, the ECA, the Electricians Contractors Association. So that's the certification that's needed for the person to sign off the CRC and confirm that this installation has been done at good quality.
Okay.
And without the CRC, it's very important to have that, because your insurance company won't cover you as a business if your CRC has not been signed off by that certified IE.
Yeah.
But you can start off working on a team just with grade 11.
Okay.
And getting involved.
Yes.
There's various accreditation companies that can assist with that process. So Sapphire does a PB green card that helps with people understanding working on installation teams, what entails a good installation.
Okay.
There's also ARAP that does a similar accreditation as well. And the PB green card process is a way of bringing about a standardized quality kind of confirmation to the sector.
Okay.
And it results in getting a PB green card form that's adjacent to the CRC to confirm that these things have been checked for your installation.
Okay.
So that's, you know, there's accreditations that are about the PB Green Card, the ARAP accreditations, they can assist. And then there's the training that you can go through to become an installation electrician as well.
Okay.
And in my mind, it's one of the easiest ways of getting involved in a sector that can end up creating for yourself generational wealth.
Absolutely.
Because you
can start
off just doing the installations on the roof,
yeah.
work your way up, and then start your own company very easily, and then build your company, and then get to a generational wealth kind of company for yourself.
That's very interesting, because I have read that in Gauteng, in fact, they are looking to train, the number was around 6,000 young people in the field of solar installations to try and create that employment, to try and boost the industry as well. Do you have any idea of the kinds of numbers that we're looking at right now in terms of how big the industry is? Like how many, I know this is ballpark figures, but like how big would you say the industry is in South Africa right now versus where it can get to?
Great. So yeah, we've recently, I was involved in sizing the market in South Africa.
Okay.
And just for residential sector, the number comes out at 1 trillion rand for the solar products alone.
Really?
In terms of the valuation.
Wow.
So it shows that it's for the next 10 years, the biggest sector to get involved in.
Yeah.
So 1 trillion rand just for the solar products. Depending on your model as a solar installation company, is roughly 50-50 in terms of the costs between the products and then the final installation with your consumables and your labor.
Yeah.
So that means that we're looking at about 2 trillion rand that's out there.
Okay.
And the current penetration is about 7% of that in terms of houses that already have installations.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a massive gap from where we are to where we need to get to.
To where we need to get to.
And in terms of that 6,000 number, we see that 300,000 people are needing to be trained in terms of skills.
Wow.
So that's the first little drop in the ocean.
Oh my gosh.
Step in the right direction,
yeah.
But it gives an idea for the opportunity that exists within the sector.
Is it wrong of me to be slightly optimistic? Because amongst everything else, we do know that we have an employment crisis in South Africa, especially in the youth. Is it wrong to be a little optimistic that, okay, there's potential for new careers to be birthed here?
Yeah, I know that optimism is well placed.
Okay, all right. I'm glad to hear.
It's a bright future for South Africa.
I'm happy.
Going in the renewable energy direction.
Yeah, that's great to hear. That's great to hear. My next one's for you, Shanley. So as an engineering consultant, I believe that you consult on a wide range of properties. You give some really expert insights before anybody takes on any kinds of projects, perhaps including alternative energy. So I just want to get your approach, because last episode two, we spoke about the differences between sectional titles, so everybody living in apartments, and standalone homes. I want to try and get an idea from a business perspective now, especially because I understand that a lot of businesses don't own the premises that they work in, they rent them out. Some of them have those big, giant campuses, some of them it's a small room in a building, etc. If you are approached by different types of businesses, what are some of the things that you look out for when you're assessing their premises to maybe determine if solar is actually the right solution for them?
Yeah, look, as you mentioned, there's different... different people have different ownership rights for businesses. And very often when a business comes to you, it comes to us looking for a solution, we actually have to turn them away because we can't help them. We have to speak to somebody higher up.
Wow.
I've been in a situation where the client was very well aware of the benefits of solar. They're very well aware of how much they can save in terms of the energy costs. And they're very well aware of how much they can benefit from just being a little bit more energy independent.
Okay.
But their landlord, the owner of the property, would not budge. And so therefore we were not able to help them. So unfortunately you do have to turn away, you're not able to help clients like that. But I think in the space, in the solar space, there's a lot of opportunity for expertise. And what I mean by that is, as Matthew's mentioned, the barriers to entry is very low. I've tested it myself. It's very easy just to put up a website, put some Google ads and get leads.
Wow.
You drive on the road and you see so many Buckies and Caddies and so on that have been branded as solar installers. So it's very easy to become a solar installer now. And what's that, the good side of that is, we're creating employment there. There are electricians who are now offering solar as well as a service that they provide. So there's a good part of that in terms of providing employment. And I think with the market so big, there's still going to be more and more opportunity for businesses to become solar installers. And it's definitely a good thing, especially where we need to get to as a country, by getting more renewables online and making more use of the large amount of solar that we're blessed with. But at the same time, we need more regulation.
Okay.
And a solar installer, their interest really would be in, you could say that their desire would be for you to install the largest system that they can sell you, right?
Yes.
So your interests are not always aligned.
Okay.
And so therefore you would need somebody who is external, who is more unbiased and is able to have the interest of the client.
Exactly.
To help them to understand what are their energy requirements, how much do they actually need. And when you start off there, it's also easy to compare. You can compare pricing from different installers using what the actual energy requirements are, as opposed to getting multiple quotes of multiple sizes, multiple system configurations. So I definitely think there's an opportunity there for more energy consultants.
Yeah.
And a lot of that work is being taken on by engineers, professional engineers.
I see.
And it's a good thing. And the reason it's a good thing is because now you have somebody who is legally required mm-hmm. to give you good advice.
Exactly.
Legally required to make sure that you have a safe system,
yeah.
that you have a system that works, and that yeah. you have a system that, in terms of cost,
yeah.
it's in your best interest. So I think it's a very good opportunity there for mm-hmm. For energy consultants.
And that's why we have an engineering expert today.
Right.
That's why we had you today, and I really, really appreciate that. So listen, the questions are already flooding in from social media. Just to pause for a moment, for those who've just joined, you are listening to and watching Sustainable Spaces Episode 3, powered by Luxee. Luxee is all about keeping your home efficient, but we're also talking about keeping your business efficient today. So if you've got any questions, please send it to our power panel using the hashtags SBLove with the blue heart, as well as the hashtag WeRunBusiness. Not only do we want your questions answered, because we really want to help you with all of the insight and the knowledge while we have the panel, but of course, just remember, you've got the chance to win that EcoFlow River 2. Maybe you're a small business, maybe you're an employee yourself, and you just need to keep your Wi-Fi on just during that 4-hour outage. Listen, the EcoFlow River 2 is going to come in extremely handy. Believe me on that one. Cool. So we've got our next question for you, Kevin, and it's actually coming from one of our users. So her name is Dumelo, and she's just saying, how do you check whether the company is legit? Actually, let me open the floor to this one, because I think it speaks directly to what you were just saying. They're asking, how do you check whether a company is legit to actually run your installation? What kind of background checks do you need to check before you commit to installing some of these things for your businesses?
Look, from my side, I do more energy consulting. So I mean, if anybody with some energy expertise will be able to give you advice on what's required from an energy perspective. But in terms of the certifications, I think I'd rather defer to Matthew on that one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So some things you can do at home just to check to see if a company is legit that you're looking at.
Okay.
Is to see, do they have a website? Are they an established company? Have they been going for a while?
Okay.
Not just started up 6 months ago.
Because we are seeing a lot of new companies.
Yeah,
I want to
learn. A lot of new companies. Mm-hmm. So because a company's new doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to give a bad installation, but it seems to be correlation between the newer companies starting up and those that have been established for a while.
Okay.
So an established company that's been around for a while, they have a website, they have a place where you can phone, and also they'll be able to give you references to good installations.
Yeah.
And then you can ask them things like the PV Green Card. Do you have mm-hmm. a PV Green Card as a certification? Are you certified with AREP?
Yeah.
Do you give an SSEG? Small-scale embedded generation certificates application to your local municipality. That's critically important, because one thing that's happening at the moment is the newer and we call them Bucky Brigade installers don't inform the clients about what's required. They might not even give a CRC.
And
so the SSEG application needs to be done by the municipality. And we're seeing now in the city of Cape Town, for instance, they're declaring all installations that don't have one illegal. So they need to become into compliance with that certificate.
Okay.
And in order to sign that off, we need someone like Shanley, my old colleague from Eskom, to be a professionally registered engineer at Exa, to then confirm that this has been done correctly and the design is correct, and then sign it off. So that's one of the things that they can ask the companies. Do I get a SSEG? Do you have qualifications in place for mm-hmm. your installation electricians?
Yeah.
Do you have PV Green Card, AREP?
Yeah.
And do you have references?
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Look, you mentioned Cape Town as a great example. And one common theme that's come from our previous episodes is that a lot of the resources, especially when we're talking solar, or the resources, the companies, the options, are most available on our metro. So in Joburg, we've got lots of options. Cape Town, we've got lots of options. Can you perform those same kinds of checks if you're in a smaller town, if you're in a less metro location in South Africa? How easy is it to still be able to verify the credentials, of your potential installer, your potential service provider?
Yes, so that's very good commentary, and it becomes more difficult the further out from the metros that you go, mostly because of the expertise of the installers themselves.
Yeah.
A little bit lacking, especially if they've just started up and they're starting to assist their community. Very good opportunity, because there's so much opportunity in the whole country. Everyone experiences load shedding to provide solar solutions with battery backup for businesses to make it through those times, especially during the day when businesses are needing electricity. So one would ask, what is your SSEG application process? Because all municipalities are meant to be performing that. But some municipalities are having a backlog of 6 months in terms of getting back to you as a company that's submitted the application to install. And so those municipalities, what they do is they say, you can install, just make sure that you still send the application through and then we will get back to you.
Sure.
So that still needs to be in place though, that application.
Okay.
And the application, in my mind, if they can do an SSEG application, then they're probably a good company to go with, as well as giving you a reference, because you need to be able to speak to the person.
Ish. Yeah.
You previously had an installation and be like, did they service your warranty claims? Did they come back to you?
Yes,
the issue?
Yes.
Because the one thing to watch out for is people, companies, installation companies trying to get a quick buck.
Yeah.
Following like the builders methodology of quote really cheap, do something, install, get the money, and then they disappear.
Yeah.
They block you, you can't get hold of them.
Yeah.
And your system's going to last 20 years. So you need a company that's going to be around for 20 years to be able to call that's done the installation.
I completely understand. Tumelo, I hope you were taking notes, but don't worry. If all of that was a lot to take in one go, there's going to be a repeat of this episode. The Twitter space will still be available to listen to. The LinkedIn Live will be available to watch once again. And of course, we're going to have this episode living on Spotify as well as YouTube in a couple of days as well. So if there's anything you've missed, if we're talking too fast to take notes, take in all the information. Don't you even stress. We're going to make sure you're covered with a recap. So my next question is for Kevin, and it's a double jointed question. So the first one is from me, and the second one is actually from Unazma.
Yeah.
I wanted to find out, firstly, we've talked solar loans for the home, and I know LookSee does actually give you the opportunity to apply for a solar loan for your home, and that's a great way to potentially start investing in the technology. Number one, can businesses take out solar loans? And number two, this is what Nazma wants to know, can a business also take out insurance on their solar grid?
Okay, those are very good questions. I think to answer your first one on if a business can take out a solar loan, regarding where we stand specifically as Standard Bank, we have sought to support businesses specifically in the commercial industrial sector, also referred to as CNI, more from a solutions orientated point of view. So over the last couple of, you could say, 5 to 6 years, we've built quite a lot of knowledge base around what are some of the dynamic needs of businesses in regarding approaching alternative power generation for their own consumption. And solar, of course, has come up as one of the, I think, most fitting and advanced solutions at this point in time. And alongside that, we've therefore developed a lot of support mechanisms for businesses as our clients.
Okay.
In that when they would like to pursue solar, for example, as an option.
Yeah.
First of all, there's a value, I'd say, added journey that they would need to go through.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to determine if they're feasible for solar or not. So as you've just heard today from the rest of the panel, it's quite complex. There's a lot that needs to be considered.
Absolutely.
So as part of that value added sort of journey, we've built out a value proposition called Power Pulse from Standard Bank, which is a digital platform which facilitates the feasibility journey of a business that's looking for solar, for them to first of all understand, are they the right candidate for solar, given so many complexities, including, for example, are you in the right industry to even consider solar to run your operation?
Yeah.
And then from there, we are able to match them to vetted solar installers, also referred to as EPCs, engineering, procurement, and construction solution providers.
Okay.
That takes out a lot of noise from the process, in that we've done a lot of that background check and work for them to be confident around which is a solar installer that they are ultimately going to contract with, because we have done that pre-vetting work for them.
Exactly.
So that's one angle.
Okay.
The next angle is therefore the funding.
Okay.
So for businesses that are looking for funding in terms of support in that regard, there are various solutions that have been developed. There's, you know, lines around secured lending or unsecured lending, and over the years we've been able to develop very tailored packages, including asset-based finance, where we look at the specific business's profile and ultimately what their roadmap is to growth, and therefore we partner in terms of what right funding solution should be put in place for them. So the answer is yes, a business can definitely ultimately get funding for their solar, but we have a very solutions orientated approach to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So from that, I want to talk a little bit more about still business, but I want to take it to Kasi, because I'm a Kasi boy. I don't want to lie. I want to take it to Kasi. Mesh, I'm sure you know that there's a wide range of burgeoning businesses coming from all across South Africa's townships. There's a lot of creativity and a lot of entrepreneurship that we're going that we're seeing there. I love the phrase Kasi economy. We're keeping it in the hands of the economy. But of course, once again, these outages are affecting everything. Whether we're talking an internet cafe, whether we're talking a hair salon, whether we're talking the shopping malls themselves sometimes, local restaurants, taverns, et cetera, et cetera. When we're talking now quote unquote, the informal market? And I think, Matthew, I'd like you to weigh in here as well. What potential do you see for in terms of solutions that solar could provide for some of these smaller businesses, especially the ones that are keeping the gas economy running?
Yeah, so I think it's a difficult time for those businesses right now, mm-hmm. where you know those solar solutions might be out of their budget, mm-hmm. Where they can see that it might affect their sustainability and viability as a business. Mm. But it's definitely something they need to be conscious of and being important for their priorities, right?
Yeah.
Because when a customer comes to your door and they're there for, let's say, Ikota, right? Mm. It's the choice between, I'm going to have the squatter from this business, and if there's load shedding and they don't have alternative ways to prepare the food without the power, the next option is just to go to a bigger business that has the ability to deliver on the product without the inconvenience.
Right.
So I think the big thing now is just to have that mindset shift and understanding of how important these alternative sources of power and solar mm-hmm. will have on small businesses being sustainable in the long term, and them investing in it when they have the ability to do so, and with an amazing partner as well, as mentioned, with the amazing products that he spoke about.
Yeah.
I think that becomes so much more important, where people just want the service, and it's not really necessarily about the quality of the experience or anything like that. It's like, I need something right now. I'm just going to go to the person who can provide it. And if you really want to compete and keep being sustainable as a business, I think it becomes a bigger priority to have that solar solution for your business, so that when your competitor goes out, you're still on, and we can still, be able to satisfy customers and be able to run our businesses.
But then with that in mind, do you see us getting a maybe more viable solution? So for example, I've seen in other African countries, there are businesses that are now specializing in used parts. They import used parts from other country, parts that are still in good condition. They handle the solar locations there. It becomes more affordable, more viable. Matthew, do you see that being a realistic possibility to maybe bridge some of the financial gaps that Mesh is talking about?
So yes, there is an aspect to using used EV batteries from cars in the home.
Okay.
The main reason being is that the specifications for a battery that's in a car, that's powering a car, are way higher than what you need for a home or a business, because in a business it's just on the wall and it doesn't need to be traveling around and experiencing a whole bunch of adverse conditions. So using then old EV batteries in installations is a really cheap way of getting your lithium ion battery in place. But I would like to highlight two commercial projects that are in place all the way down in the informal settlements that don't have any electrical grid infrastructure at all. So there's about 2 million homes in South Africa that don't have any grid infrastructure giving them electricity. And we've seen some really exciting new businesses starting up in those areas. So the one company I'd like to just chat briefly about is called Zonke Energy.
Oh, yeah.
And what they do is they put up these high solar-powered towers that have solar panels at the top, and then they distribute the electricity to neighboring businesses and households at really cheap prices. So even R5 a day will give you lights and the ability to charge your cell phone, and you can go up to R14 a day to then get enough electricity for a TV or a fridge.
Okay.
So that's a really innovative solution that's coming about in where there's need and there's no electricity being serviced at the moment. And then the other one is Green Cape has done an initiative in Cape Town in formal settlements where there's also no electricity.
Okay.
Where they come and they install a small little single or two panel solar system.
Oh, really?
With a small little DC reticulation, which will give you lights, TV, refrigerating power, ability to charge your laptop or your cell phone.
Yeah.
And they're also charging about R14 a day.
Wow.
And they say comparatively to the paraffin or candle alternatives, it's half than what people are spending in order to keep their lights on or
really?
Have the ability to cook in their homes. So that's some new things that are happening already from 2018. This have already started happening in the informal settlement market. So that's all the way from there upwards. There's opportunity throughout in all of South Africa for these kinds of solutions.
I'm really happy to hear that it's exciting. It sounds like Cape Town gets a lot of stuff first, but as long as it's rolling out, to the rest of the country, I completely understand. And it's exciting to hear these kinds of solutions, because I think innovation, you can say what we want about leadership, and this is not a political discussion, but I always believe that the true innovation comes from the people. You know, the true revolutions come from the people. And it sounds as if there are organizations that are putting themselves out there to solve the crisis and help everybody out, and we can learn and adopt those solutions. So shout out to Cape Town. I promise it's Cape Townians. I wasn't being biased. And also, while we're here, we always like to hear where everybody's listening in from. So please just comment. Please leave a little hashtag on Twitter, reply on Twitter, or leave a comment on LinkedIn. Let us know where you're listening in from. We'd love to know exactly what the landscape is like in your country. I know that in your city, sorry, we're all in the same country. There's still loads of questions coming through. And just remember, if you ask a question using the hashtag WeRunBusiness and SBLove with the blue heart, you stand a chance to win that EcoFlow River 2, that portable utility that can allow you to just keep charged, keep the Wi-Fi on, and just get through those outages just a little bit better. So we do have a flood of questions coming in. I'm going to ask my last few, but let me interrupt my questions. There's one for you, Shanley. We were talking about some of the consultations that you do, some of the checks that you do, some of the compliances that the businesses need to meet. On a financial level, Sophia wants to know that could a business owner qualify for funding based on their income projection? So not necessarily the cash that they have right now on hand, but perhaps the projection of exactly where they can get to. How would it work in that situation?
I think it is more of a banking question, but I have seen that as well. I have seen businesses qualifying for loans based on their income. It is more of a banking question. I think maybe the banking guys are better.
Kevin, you can chime in as well. You can chime in.
So I think it's quite a complex one to dissect, because no one case is the same as the other. It all depends on the profile of the underlying business. Mm-hmm. So unlike individuals, businesses have very different strategies and roadmaps, and therefore in terms of them being bankable, there are various sort of moving factors that need to be considered.
Okay.
So ultimately it depends on what drives the value in that business.
Okay.
Is it, first of all, let's say the income that they're projecting to generate,
mm-hmm.
or is it their underlying assets?
Okay.
And then in that spectrum of what exactly drives the value of that business,
you're
then able to derive some kind of value for that business and therefore bankability. And then that determines how fundable that business is,
mm-hmm.
even in terms of qualifying for a loan.
Okay.
And it even goes beyond that to determine potentially what kind of class of loan or let's say, type of loan that
of
business
course.
Should specifically be fitted to, because you have to look at the specific needs of that business, and hence why we have a very solutions orientated approach when it comes to businesses looking for funding, because ultimately there are so many dynamics that need to be considered so that we can partner with a particular business as a client on their roadmap and make sure that they have the right solution for them. So it's not a cookie cutter approach, but therefore to answer the person who's sending the question, I think it depends very much on the type of business and what drives the underlying value of that business.
That makes a lot of sense. And then maybe speaking off the top of my head, from an investment perspective, if someone's looking to invest in some of these businesses that could be adopt either those that are burgeoning and venturing into becoming solar providers themselves, or a business that says, we are solar equipped, we are ready to handle whatever challenges come our way. This is not financial advice, but I just want to know, if someone is looking into invest into those kinds of businesses, Mesh, I think you can also chime in, does that make you as an investor a little bit, does it give you peace of mind, let me say, as an investor, to know that, okay, this is a new business, these are the projections, this is where they could get to, and this is how they've acquired their funding, and now they've equipped themselves for these potential challenges. Does it increase the value of your investment? Does it make you think maybe a little bit differently?
Yeah, so I do think that there's something to be said about the viability or sustainability of a business that makes sure to mitigate the risk of load shedding in their business, right? So there's been a ton of small businesses that have named load shedding as one of the main factors why they're closing down, or maybe even just scaling down in order to navigate the realities that they face, right? So I do think that, you know, when investors or anyone who's assessing a candidate maybe for a remote job, and that candidate says, you know, I do have alternative power. I can work during those hours where the network might be down, things like that. I think it becomes way more important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's crazy to say this, but now access to power can become just your competitive advantage from the guy next to you, because you are able to sustain yourself and be able to keep the business running, keep customers coming back, start growing your community because you have access to power and people feel like they can rely on your business when maybe at home they can't work from there, right?
Yeah.
It does add a lot more to the prospect of those businesses.
Okay, all right, that completely makes sense.
And actually, I also just want to chime in there as
please,
well.
Please, please do.
You know, very,
do.
Very often when we think about getting solar, we might clients tend to think only about getting a loan. Hmm. And there's more than an option of just getting a loan. I mean, okay. there's several options. There's obviously cash, and if you have the cash, you can do that.
Absolutely.
There's the bank loan, but there are alternatives as well. There's something called the power purchase agreement.
Okay.
Solar installers are willing to install the system at their own cost, and then you only pay for the energy usage.
So
you
pay a price based
on energy usage, and there's also multiple ways of doing that. You could have a power purchase agreement where at the end of the period, you could own the system, or at the end of the period, the solar company still owns the system, and then you might want to renew it.
Yeah.
That also changes what your price per kilowatt hour is going to be. There's also an option called rent to buy. So you pay a fixed amount per month, and then you after a certain period of time, then you get to own the system.
Yes.
There are also many installers that are providing a lease agreement, so it's not rent to buy, so the price will be a little bit less, but at the end of a certain period, you still don't own the system. They might take it back, and then you might be ready to install a better system after several years. So when we're thinking about installing, let's not just think about the bank loan, but there are other options as well.
I'm glad that you touched on other options, and I think Matthew, you can weigh in, but everybody feel this is an open floor question, because I've read about something that they call the Energy Bounce Back Loan Guarantee Scheme, EBB. President Cyril Ramaphosa spoke about it in this year's national address. We're hearing that progress is being made, but we don't know just how much. Is that another option, along with some of the options that Shanley has talked about? Is that something that South Africans could start to consider in the near future?
Yes, yeah, very much so. And the nice thing about the Bounce Back Energy loan is that it's supported by government,
okay,
and being rolled out through the bank. So it's very exciting to see the solutions the Standard Bank will be coming with that. And just a note on that, it's been announced recently, but the banks haven't yet started providing the product to clients as yet. It's coming.
Okay.
The banks have just the government has confirmed that they're going to take the 20% first loss guarantee upon themselves to de-risk then the loans that will be given by the banks.
Okay.
So it's giving a lot of confidence then to the banks to develop the products. So I'm very looking much forward to the products that will be coming from Standard Bank going forward.
That's incredible, because one other person is actually asking, and this is a question that has come up in every single episode actually. They always say, why can't Eskom just employ solar? Why can't Eskom just install solar and alleviate as many of the problems? And again, Mail and Guardian were reporting that there's a big renewable energy project that has been paused due to a deficit of several billion rands. And again, we're not getting political, but how far are we away from our parastatals also being able to roll those kinds of solutions for mass energy supply?
Sure. Yeah, that's a really good commentary and really good insights that are coming. And unfortunately, the answer is that Eskom itself that is very far away from being able to do their own deployments of large-scale energy.
Okay.
Primarily because the focus has been up until, and still it is until now, that private sector will come to the party.
Okay.
And so a lot of the renewable energy products that are getting placed are all independent power producers. And not Eskom owned.
Yeah.
They're IPPs that will be contracting to Eskom through a power purchase agreement. And on that note, it would be good to note that the REIPP bid winners, the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer bid winners, 5 and 6 that were touted as these are going to be solutions to solving the energy crisis, have actually failed by more than half.
Oh, really? Really?
So bid winner 5, which was extended to a capacity of 4,600 megawatts, will only get 1,300 megawatts coming online. And that's most likely one of those projects that you heard about that wasn't able to get funding.
Okay.
There was financial difficulties in getting financial close on those. And then bid winner 6, which was announced by Cyril last year in July, to be doubled from 2,600 megawatts to 5,200, will actually only be getting about 900 megawatts online.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's due to grid constraints, which has been highlighted by the CSIR as being the main cause for load shedding going to be taking place for the next 10 years.
Okay.
And that's CSIR saying that. So that's significant in terms of our understanding that this isn't going away next year. It's going to be with us for the next 5 years minimum.
I totally understand. I'm glad to have at least a realistic picture of where we are and where we could be. But as we've discussed, there are still solutions that we can take upon ourselves. Some of them we can explore in different ways. As you explained, Shanley, that it's not always just cash. You don't have to have all of that money, because I saw a comment here from Tandega who's saying, at the moment, solar can only be afforded by people who have money. So thank you that at least we've seen that there are alternatives to get into there. So I want to do a SWOT analysis. I think we're talking business today. We're going to do a little bit of a SWOT analysis. We've talked about strengths. We've touched on weaknesses. We've talked about opportunities. I want to talk about the threats now. So I'm reading in Limpopo, but I'm sure it's happening elsewhere as well. But the breaking story that I saw earlier this week was from Limpopo, reporting a rise in the theft of solar panels. So we're not the police minister, so I'm not going to tell you how we stop the crime, but I just want to get maybe some ideas and some thoughts for anybody who might be concerned about maybe the safety of their homes and the safety of their equipment after installing, the safety of their equipment in their businesses as well. How do you protect yourself from that particular element? Is there any additional steps that you can take? Is it an insurance thing? Is it an extra preparation thing when you're doing your consulting to have a look at the area and maybe advise that, no, this might not be the right place to do it? What kind of preparation and what kind of safety measures can you take to protect your investment? Open floor, anybody can go for it.
Well, I'll throw my two.
Okay, cool, go ahead.
And then we'll maybe get some more commentary. So yeah. Regarding the theft of solar panels, that's recently become highlighted as a big issue in South Africa, where people are noticing their homes, while they're not there, people are coming and stealing their solar panels. So one thing that can be done to mitigate that is the way that solar panels are connected to the panels on the roof and the panels that are used themselves. There are security clips and security panels, security fastenings that make it very difficult to remove the equipment without the right tool. There's also a polymer that can be used to attach the battery and the panels to the mounting so that it can't actually be removed. So that's being seen in all of the cell phone towers with their big batteries that are used to overcome load shedding. The polymer is being developed in South Africa that make it very difficult to remove the battery without totally destroying the product itself. So that's two little things that are coming about that can assist with stopping theft of your equipment.
Okay, all right, that's good to know.
I was going to link it just to the question that was asked earlier, right? So I think it was Tato who asked you know, whether or not you can get, you know, solar panels in insured as well.
Yes.
So I think this is where maybe, you know, the financial partners really need to step up and like move in this direction, and if it's not already there, to ensure that businesses can be covered in this way, right? So that if this happens to their business, it's really part of the business coverage as well. It would be interesting to find out if insurers are thinking about these things already. If this is already part of business insurance, because I do think that that would be the ultimate solution, just to make sure that the businesses aren't, you know, completely crumbled or crippled by something like this happening to them. I don't know if you know.
So it's really coming in a big way with insurance, and that's been highlighted with the fire that happened on the Vodacom head office, the roof in Cape Town. In terms of the threats to the businesses of solar installations. Thankfully, it was ruled out that it was caused by the solar system, but we saw a large influx from all of our big clients saying, listen, what's, you know, is my installation safe? Wow. And how can you confirm the installation safe?
Wow.
So the insurance company is now is increasing its focus on the aspects of a solar installation and confirming that it's been done correctly.
I understand.
Which also, once again, opens up the floor to electrical engineers being able to confirm that things are correct and consulting to insurance companies to understand what is it that needs to be in place for me to say, great, I insure now this business with the solar installation because I can confirm that the quality is correct. So that's,
makes sense.
I think we're in a really really good space. You know, we've come from years of relying on Eskom, of having cheap power, and we're in a situation now where all the solar power is coming online. You have all these installers and so on, and it's really new territory. And it's a good thing. So look, the solar industry is very very much still in need of a lot of regulation, and unfortunately, a lot of that regulation is going to come from mistakes. So when, you know, when clients have issues, when there are fires and so on, look, it's new territory, and regulation is going to be put in place to have those safety measures in place, and there's going to be innovation as well. We're going to improve our clips on the solar panels. We're going to find new ways. Sure. So these are also opportunities that are available for us as we move forward.
Totally makes sense.
I'd like to add to that.
Yeah, please do.
And what I would really like to latch on to is the element of innovation, right? In as much as we are seeing the solar industry in South Africa blossoming at this point in time, I think it's important to be cognizant of the fact that it's come a long way. And it's probably been spurred by, in the current environment that we're experiencing with the challenge of load shedding. But out of that comes a lot of opportunity as well. And you know, the earlier question 100%. On how can, let's say, young people get into this space, be employed,
also
be entrepreneurs. There's so many offshoots that are created by these challenges that could be investigated. In as much as the financial services sector may need to innovate certain products in the insurance space to meet the challenges as they're arising, there might be opportunities, for example, for security companies or security entrepreneurs to look at how they can meet some of these challenges around theft and so on. And as we get that, I think, cross-collaboration and innovation from various aspects of the value chain, ultimately you'll be able to find, I think, a more comprehensive solution coming forward.
I understand.
Tackling it from all sides in order to solve this particular problem. But I guess we can't ignore the fact that, of course, theft is, you know, is one of the big challenges we have in our country. And installation is a very valuable item.
It's a big investment,
It's a big investment.
Exactly.
And therefore, there will always be value for that, even in the context of theft. But I think with innovation coming to the forefront, ultimately, we'll see different solutions coming out to protect the value of investments for businesses.
You know what? I like you guys. You're turning threats into opportunities.
if I can just also say...
Go ahead, Shendi.
You know, Mashuda touched on this. So when it comes to theft, there's two things here, right?
Okay.
There's loss of business revenue as a result of the theft.
Of course.
Also loss of the asset as well.
Exactly.
But in terms of losing the asset, there's already insurance available for that. And in my experience, you know, the clients added to their building insurance and the amount they add on is not very big.
Okay.
So there is that type of insurance.
All right.
But I think there has to be some work done on protecting the business itself from that kind of...
And protecting the actual asset itself, I guess, from what you were saying, the clips, the maybe new technology that can ensure that it's not as easy to, let's just say, dismantle. Because that's what I read in that particular report. I think it was SABC News who mentioned that this was occurring because of the ease of dismantling for these people who are targeting those solar panels. So it's good to see that there are, like we said, opportunities to work on that, opportunities to perhaps create other industries that that specialize in the safety of solar equipment as well.
Yeah.
So listen, my beautiful audience, thank you for keeping us captive up until this point. We've got just about 10 minutes left. So now I'm done with my questions. I'm going to be going through every single person's question, or at least as many as I can in the last few minutes before we wrap up. But don't worry, anything that doesn't get answered, we'll make sure that we address it in the comments or on Twitter as your replies. And just remember, use the hashtag SBLove with the blue heart and hashtag WeRunBusiness so that your question stands a chance of winning that EcoFlow River 2 could come in extremely handy. So the first question is for Mesh. We were talking about, you know, township businesses, and this person wants to know about, okay, they've used the word side on the street. I want to find a better word to say it, but basically we know we've got barbers who can operate from just about anywhere. They use, usually, I've seen them using like little mini generators, etc. Could portable solar units help spaza shops, help anybody whose business is actually right there in front of commuters, is it something we can start to see at some of the big taxi rank hubs, etc.? Could those portable units, the smaller ones, be potential solutions?
Yeah, so I think we've seen like how people are starting to, you know, not only just try and find sources of power, but also start being more creative as well. I think back to, you know, there was a backpack, I think about 5 years ago, created by a South African entrepreneur that had like solar panels on it, and basically it was mainly for, you know, kids in rural areas to be able to study.
Okay.
So the backpack had solar panels.
Okay.
You charge it throughout the day.
Yeah.
At night you can study and be able to charge your phone.
Okay.
Now you're seeing a lot more of that sort of like very miniature, small, you know, just, okay, can this power, you know, just a small stove, a small something, to be able to still be able to function, right? And even with just like having a light on inside the space where people come to visit your business or be able to get the thing out, right? So I do think that becomes a lot more viable for people that might not have the capital to go full on solar, you know, cover their entire business.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot more innovation in that space.
Okay.
I'm very excited about it too.
Okay.
Where, you know, what does it look like when the person on the side of the street that's cooking, you know, at a taxi rank, the person is, all
that's
those
what
people
I'm
have
talking
just
about.
Like a kit
that's
that
what
they
I'm
can
talking
lay
about.
Out and just like be able to function and serve their customers, right? And maybe Matthew, you can speak to, you know, is there a lot more innovation coming from there? You know, that not just all big building solar, but really small, be able to help the person, you know, running a very small business.
Yeah, and this very much so comes back full circle to the EcoFlow unit that's on offer.
Yeah, actually, yes. That EcoFlow River 2. Listen, send your questions. Send your questions. Hey, sadly not. I'll speak to Luxi for you guys. Okay.
So it comes full circle because you'll find that even with EcoFlow, there's a plug-in for solar panels, so you can actually have it charging and then being used to power the clipper. On the side of the streets. So the EcoFlow itself could be a tool for creating business.
That is so interesting.
So there are small little units like that that can be powered by solar panels. So they're recharging as you're using the power. Yeah. And then you can use it for any of the 220 volt applications that you would like to have in your business.
Absolutely.
So there is that. We would like to see a lot more innovation coming.
Sure.
So keep your ear to the ground for any businesses that are getting involved in the informal markets and providing a small little one or two panel connected to a small little battery unit, because those will explode like wildfire. And we actually haven't seen that in really coming to the market in a big way as yet. So there's great opportunity there. And any business that gets involved in that, very much back it as quickly as you can.
100%. Yeah. I'm just thinking about my barber, man. Listen, I always feel so bad for him when the power's out, so he'd be able to keep things running during that. And I love that solution. Look, Luxi on their online shop actually do have a range of small to big devices. Some of them are, like you said, solar ready as well. So do have a look at their marketplace, because there might be some smaller options and some smaller solutions like that EcoFlow River 2 that you can get started with as well. The next question is coming from Tumelo, who wants to know, and I think I'm going to combine this with someone else's question. Number one, how can I maintain my solar panels once I've installed it into my business? Number two, what happens if I need to clean my roof? Again, open flow.
So I'm happy to take that from the perspective of, you know, some of the interactions we've seen with businesses that have gone specifically ahead with the decision to have a solar system installed. Typically sort of as a comprehensive and all-rounded packaging from solar installers or EPCs in that space, they tend to be the option for the underlying client to take on a maintenance contract over and above the installation.
Okay.
So that comes with a lot of sort of service level obligations and also rights of both parties to adhere to. But in essence, what you are contracting to over and above the installation is for the installer, if they have the capacity to help you maintain the system. So they have all kinds of, I think, tools to monitor the effectiveness of your system, feedback to you in terms of if it's performing accurately, if it's broken, ultimately come out and fix it. And also within the perspective of guaranteeing some of the output of that system. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that's important, especially for a business, is because in many cases, there's an attached decision to sourcing funding or getting a loan for that underlying system. There's a particular payback from an economic perspective that you'd like to derive from financing that system.
Makes sense.
And that ultimately gets tied back to how well is that system going to perform. So as part of the maintenance, you find most installers in the C&I space or commercial industrial space trying to assist the client with making sure the system performs ultimately.
Okay.
And therefore they have some kind of performance guarantees as well.
As part of that agreement.
Installation to make sure that it performs appropriately.
That makes sense.
And if you need to clean your roof, in many cases you do have that offering as well as part of the maintenance sort of contract.
Okay.
And above the installation.
Yeah.
However, there's still a gap as well and potential opportunity for small businesses or entrepreneurs or even unemployed youth to enter that space and offer the cleaning of those solar panels, because ultimately you need the solar panel to be as clean as possible to harness the power of the sun as much
that's
as,
what
as,
we've
as,
learned,
as
yeah.
possible.
Apparently even a small stain can affect the effectiveness of how much energy can drain in.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So generally I think that's something that as businesses they should request of a solar installer if they decide to get a system. But I think at the same time, there's an opportunity for businesses to provide this specific service.
Sure.
Because it's very hard for you as a business owner to get on your roof as regularly as possible to know whether it's clean or not.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Guys, I wish we could have gone on all day with this conversation, okay? Because the insight, the knowledge that you are dropping has been absolutely incredible. There's so many questions coming in, and I promise you we're going to get to address them afterwards. Can I ask as the panel as well, if you see any questions that were directed at you, please do answer them and just give. Let's continue sharing the knowledge. Just before we wrap up, I'd just like to pass around to the room one more time. Kevin, where can people follow you on social media, online, anywhere?
Okay, you can definitely find me on LinkedIn as Kevin Semo Guerrero.
Okay.
You can also find PowerPulse at PowerPulse standardbank.co.za, mm-hmm. Where you can view the offering the installation for businesses specifically. Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to iterate that businesses out there should not ignore the fact that there's currently a very big tax incentive from the government.
Oh, really?
Which makes it lucrative for you at this point in time until sometime in 2025 to install a solar system. So please find us as soon as possible if you'd like to take advantage of that tax incentive.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Matthew, where can we follow you on social media?
Great.
Or anywhere else, everywhere?
Yes, yeah. So primarily LinkedIn as well.
Okay,
so
great.
Matthew Cruz, mm-hmm. Cruz like Tom Cruise.
Okay, great.
C-R-U-I-S-E. Yeah, I can also reach out to the company, Home Energy, the solar installations.
Yeah.
So that's another way, but primarily through LinkedIn.
Wonderful, wonderful. Shanley, where can we keep up with you?
Same for me. LinkedIn as well. That's Shanley Lutchman. And then also on my website, shanleylutchman.co.za.
Wonderful.
I write articles from time to time on it's just helpful to property owners as well. That might be interesting as well.
Absolutely brilliant. Mesh, I already follow you, man. But still, for those who don't, for those who are meeting you for the first time, where can we keep up with you? Where can we listen to the podcast?
Yeah, so it's across all channels, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, all the millions other
all of
platforms
them.
Now.
X.
It's Mesh Startup.
Cool.
And the sort of platform that we've built to enable, you know, people to find the right information, resources, and tools to start, build, and grow their businesses mm-hmm. is foundersource.com.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And I always say, just before we wrap up, if you power a business with lights, you keep them on for a day. But if you empower a business with knowledge, you keep them on for a lifetime. So thank you so much for the knowledge. Thank you for the expertise. To the audience on Twitter, on LinkedIn, from all across the country, we just want to thank you for always supporting Sustainable Spaces. We love the conversation. And guess what? We get to do this one more time. There's one final episode, the season finale of Sustainable Spaces that you definitely don't want to miss. Cannot wait to have you there. But until then, it's goodbye from me. My name is Tinashe Venge. This has been Sustainable Spaces with Luxie.